You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
A truce between Eskom and City Power here in Johannesburg may have averted a full-scale billing war for now, but I would hazard to say it's done little to hide maybe deeper cracks in South Africa's power system. Listen to this number. More than 1.6 million households are still in the dark. Infrastructure remains under pressure, and also 13 billion rand allocated for electrification over the next 3 years. The stakes are certainly mounting. Let's try and cover all of that in a quick conversation. Dr. Josienso Ramakgopa is with me, the Minister of Energy and Electricity. Minister, let's get to City Power first. They may have a truce, but explain to us very simply what's really been fixed here.
Thank you, Jeremy. Your description of the problem is on the mark. So we're sitting with the following problem. We have a situation where Eskom is providing electricity to a number of bulk customers, and bulk customers, really, I mean municipalities and also to households. So on the bulk customer side, we're finding that the municipalities are increasingly finding it difficult to collect from their own customers, and therefore they are unable to meet their obligations towards Eskom for the bulk purchase of electricity. Of course, City Power is emblematic of that problem because it's the biggest utility in the country, a municipal utility, has got the most number of customers. And we have seen that over time, there has been an accumulation of debt, the inability on the part of City Power to pay the current account. And of course, I had to come in using an intergovernmental dispute resolution mechanism. But really, the underlying problem is the following, is that they are not collecting enough to be able to pay for their current account. You find that there's collapse of municipal distribution and reticulation infrastructure. We are finding that increasingly there's a number of illegal users on the system, resulting in what gets to be referred to as load reduction. So across the country, we have such situations. I mean, collectively, municipalities are owing Eskom just shy of 100 billion rands. And in return, municipalities collectively are owed by their customers upwards of 400 billion rands. So it's an unsustainable equation that requires a much more, if you like, structural intervention. So we're talking about capacitating municipalities to ensure that they are able to deliver the full value chain of electricity supply. By that, I mean planning, infrastructure investment, maintenance, refurbishment, collections, and also accurate billing, credit control, and ring fence some of the portions of what gets to be paid to be reinvested back into this asset base that provides electricity. So it's a much bigger problem. And then the second structural problem, it's just the affordability of electricity. It's extremely expensive. I mean, if you had to do a longitudinal study over the past 10 years, electricity tariffs have gone up by about 600%. It's untenable, unsustainable, and that's why we're working on revision of the electricity pricing policy and see how best we can assist municipalities and users, including businesses, Jeremy.
Minister, you talk about this being an unsustainable equation. Is it fair to say then that none of this, the intervention, and is going to be yield any results in the short term, and particularly against your promise of universal access by 2030?
Well, in the short term, we are seeing that we are trying everything possible to pay. I must say that, and I'm using Joburg as an example, they are paying their current account. But there's going to be the next tariff revision. And I can say this, disclose the following, uncomfortable as it may be, that you are going to see an increase in that revision. So that's the nature of the beast that is confronting us. So we need to ensure that we find technology solutions that are able to bring down the cost of primary energy. Because your problem really, Jeremy, is the cost of primary energy in this instance is coal. And so we are now rolling out microgrids, harvesting the sun, storing the excess generation during the day to batteries, and releasing or drawing from the stored electricity from the batteries during the peaks, because that's where you have your biggest problem. We're starting in many areas, I mean,
They will be launching one in Limpopo. Are going to become a bit more aggressive. So that's the one part of those that are already connected. Then you have the 1.6 million number, the households that are not yet connected at all. These are largely in peri-urban areas, and the concentration is in the rural areas. And really that has to do with the cost of connection, unit connection. Because you don't have the densities that you enjoy in the urban centers, you find that people are thinly dispersed in the rural areas. You need to build a backbone infrastructure to reach each and every household. Now, the cost of unit connection is higher, a bit prohibitive. And that's why you have seen that we have not been able to attain universal access. Now, using this technology innovation, a hybrid of solar PV and solar, that is PV and battery, we are able to use that combination to provide for these communities without necessarily relying on a backbone infrastructure. So what we call distributed network. So we are able to bring down the unit cost of connection to just below 30,000. And with the improvement of technology and also us perfecting the art of this delivery, we think we can bring it down close to 25,000 compared to the 80,000 that we talk of now. So that's what is going to happen in the long term. And then your cost of primary energy, the sun is the sun. It's not like the price of the sun will increase tomorrow going into the future. So, and there's a bit more certainty with regards to pricing. Of course, you don't discount the impact of climate change, what that might mean to the quality of the sun, the number of sun days, and the number of hours in a day where we have the sun. But assuming the existing conditions, we should be in a position where there's some degree of predictability in relation to the cost of electricity, Jeremy. That's a more enduring solution. Otherwise, we're kicking the can down the road. And I was making the point that we need to find that the answer at a national level. Of course, municipalities still have an obligation to collect completeness of billing. We know that there are suburbs in the country that are not being built, not because the customers don't want to pay, but the municipality don't have the means to be able to identify areas of land billing and completeness and accuracy of billing, Jeremy.
And Minister, that fundamentally is the problem, just in terms of the obligation on underperforming municipalities when it comes to this visionary rollout as far as electricity is concerned. You've got to resolve this at local level, and that yes. Seems to be a long way hence.
You are absolutely correct. So let me give you a problem that exemplifies the scale of the challenge that is an example that exemplifies the scale of the problem that's facing us. Of all municipalities that we have, I think you'll have less than 10 of these municipalities that have got professionally registered electrical engineers. So that's the scale of the problem. So essentially, you don't have the know-how, the technology, know-how, the skills internally to be able to do planning for demand, forecasting, to be able to find the best way of connecting the people. And once they are connected, ensuring that we have the right technology solutions to deliver that electricity to the households, ensure that you address technical losses, ensure that you are able to design your reticulation infrastructure to meet the demand. That skill is not there. And the municipalities have hemorrhaged skills over time. That's the problem that is confronting us. And it's part of the solution that we're introducing. And really, this is outside your metros. You are 8 big metros. Even, 2, 3 of these metros, they are battling with this challenge. But it's to bring to bear the capacity that Eskom has. We will recruit on our side, embed this technical expertise within municipalities, help them to address these value chain interventions, the ones that I've referred to above, so that they were able to resolve the problem in the long term. But yes, you are right. It's a structural problem. It will be a height of folly, Jeremy, for me to suggest to you that it will be resolved in the next 6 months, not even 12 months. We have to invest in those skills to come back into this sector. And of course, we know that there are other situations outside and the technical issues that repel these experts to come into local government or public sector in general. I mean, the fact that there are other interests in the space that can nullify these efforts that we are making, and people can be vilified, people can be victimized in some instances, that even people get to be killed in this space. So that's a challenge that is facing us. But we'll do everything possible. We are working with SALGA to address the situation. But yes, that's a fundamental problem, Jeremy, that is facing us, including the issue of the affordability of electricity. And you find that the customers are resorting to illegal connections in some instances. It's aided and abetted by workers, both in Eskom and municipalities, to bypass the electricity meters. So those are the challenges that are facing us. But there are technology solutions that exist out there that can help us at the minimum to significantly reduce that risk, and at best to even eliminate it, Jeremy.
And Minister, just a final question. You spoke a little earlier about the importance of finding alternative energy source. And obviously a lot of that is contingent on private investment. Are you confident that that pipeline is unblocked at the moment, given that the process has been slow and it's often bedeviled by too much red tape?
No, you're absolutely correct. Just on a utility scale, we will be releasing the IRP, which is really an electricity plan, that they will inform the country on how we want to draw on new generation capacity from the private sector. You're absolutely correct. We have issues in relation to permitting and licensing, your EIA, water use license. I must say that with the FFE and the Department of Water, we have truncated that process of application and approval. I'm confident we'll resolve the issues of right of way when we build new transmission, because that has been a primary constraint, especially in areas with the healthy renewable energy assets like your Cape provinces, Northern, Eastern, and Western Cape. So we're unlocking those corridors. In fact, before the end of this month, I'll be announcing the request for qualification for the biggest build program of a post-apartheid era, 440 billion rands in the next 7 years of expanding transmission. And at the micro level, it is those village interventions that we are making. So working with the provinces to accelerate the approval of EIAs to allow us to put in place your microgrids or distributed grids. And you are also correct. I mean, we get an allocation of 4 billion rands, just shy of 4 billion rands, just about 4 billion rands per annum. That's the 13 billion rands that you referred to. It's not enough. I think we need over 60 billion rands for us to connect that number of household, 1.6 million. So we'll be working with the DFIs. In fact, we're scheduled in the next 2 weeks to find ways of co-funding and crowding in these investments, including drawing from the climate fund, you know, this funding that is directed at the just energy transition. So that's how we want to aggregate all of this funding. And then on the back of that, you can localize component manufacturing, get people into jobs, get new skills, and then we resolve an unemployment problem in the process of resolving an electricity problem, Jeremy.
Minister Hosian Soral Makgopa, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.